Hello, you're listening to Changemakers with me, Michael Heyman. Now, my guest today is Matthew Flamini, a man who has taken the path less travelled, from growing up on the beaches of Marseille to a football career at the highest level with Arsenal, AC Milan and international caps for France to boot. For many, that would be enough. But this is an elite athlete with a passion and a purpose. Alongside his footballing career, Matthew has spent the past 12 years as one of the world's leading bioeconomy entrepreneurs with his business GF Biochemicals, which has seen him recognized as a World Economic Forum Young Global Leader. And to bring this story right up to date, Matthew is now combining his campaigning expertise with his athletic experience to focus on a healthy lifestyle for all. Matthew, welcome to Changemakers. I'm feeling physically fit just speaking to you. Give us a sense of that performance drive, that performance interest that you have.
I mean, first of all, hi, Michael. Pleasure being a part of your podcast. Thank you for having me, and hi, everyone. You were very kind with all introduction of myself. So yes, as you were saying, I've been like playing, I've been a professional athlete playing football for the past nearly 20 years. And obviously, as you can imagine, I mean, like having the desire and the necessity to be at the very best, because when you have to perform on daily basics, I mean, that's not an option, that's a need. So, and being surrounded also by, I will say, all the different experts in a different sectors, from like nutrition to like mindset to fitness to recovery. I mean, I've accumulated, I would say, through the years, an experience around a healthy lifestyle, which have been helping me like in my everyday. I would say.
I read somewhere that you said you've never called in for a sick day or stayed in bed, which I think, you know, sort of certainly reflects your energy. But I also noticed that in your lockdown advice that accompanies this podcast, you said stay positive, whatever happens. What's the cue, do you think? What's the lesson, the secret to staying positive?
I mean, I would say it's a mindset. I like to believe in an holistic approach. When I say holistic approach, I'm talking about like a lifestyle and the mindset, and being able to turn any negative situation into a positive one. I think it's an exercise I've been trying to accomplish through the years, and that's why I like to call myself like a very positive person. And obviously, like we had a difficult time with this coronavirus situation, and people obviously got affected, and some of them even lost some family members. But what I can say is like what I try to do is to look at the situation and find some positive in it, even if obviously like for many of us it was difficult. But on my side, I was trying to keep positive, and this positivity was coming from the fact that I was able to cut on a lot of superficial aspects in my life, and I was able to focus on the close people which have been around me. Like I'm talking about close friends, family. I've been also like being able to eat healthier, to cook much more. So obviously there are a lot of negative, but in any situation, I'm sure you can find some positive. So that's why, again, you know, when you come from an industry such as sport, where, I mean, the mindset is probably like over 70%, I mean, you learn to work on it.
I was thinking about that because, I mean, mindset is either your biggest foe or your biggest friend. And it strikes me, having interviewed a number of elite athletes, is that the key is, how can you turn your worst moment into your best moment? How can you turn it on? If you were to sort of give a piece of advice for somebody listening that's going, I want that, I want to do that, what's one thing you could do now?
I mean, I like to compare, you know, top level athlete with the military forces. And obviously, like military forces, I mean, they put the life on the line. But obviously, athlete also, when you play at the top level, and when you're on a pitch or when you're on a field, I mean, at the end of the day, it's your opponent. So obviously, like working your mindset and having like a strong mind is a key element. So I mean, like, difficult to give advices, but already by telling people to stay positive and to try to like for any situation. I mean, obviously there is a downside, but there is always an upside, and to focus on the upside, you know, it's like I like to say, some people look at a glass and someone's going to tell you, oh, wow, it's half empty, and some others are going to say it's half full. I like to be, you know, part of the ones who's going to say the glass is half full. And I also like to say, you know, after the rain always comes the rainbow and the sun. So, I mean, it's a mindset and it's an exercise which you have to do on yourself. Obviously it takes some time, But I personally like that has helping me. That helped me a lot, you know, through my career. And let's not forget that as an athlete, you know, a career is made of up and down. It's made of injuries, and also like it can happen that you have a bad day where you don't perform well. And if you live in the past instead of looking forward, I mean, that's definitely have a negative impact of your performance. So maybe as a good advice, which I've been working with me, is just like, you know what? I mean, when you turn a page, I mean, like, don't look behind, just look forward.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, I often look for guests in terms of, you know, best quotes, and you have some cracking quotes in terms of advice that I've been researching. I love this one: you learn or you win, but you never lose. That idea of learning and winning, I guess, is part of that formula.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, like, as an athlete, you know, obviously you cannot win every single game. And obviously, even if I love to win and I hate to lose, I mean, losing is also part of the game, I would say. So, yes, that's true. I love to say that in life, or you win or you learn, because like losing is also about like getting better, is also learning from your mistakes, and is also about coming back stronger.
I mean, you mentioned nutrition earlier. I mean, and you're spending a lot of time in the kitchen during lockdown, your favorite room, I understand. You've also got something we share. I mean, I can't claim to be an elite athlete, but I have gone vegetarian. And I was reading what you were saying about your view about just eating fruit and vegetables rather than meat, and what that does to you in terms of, I guess, your metabolism and your ability to get the energy that you need. You're a big proponent now for vegetarianism. Pick up the story for us.
Okay, so I'll try to keep it short, but also like as explicit as possible. So yes, I mean, like I'm a Mediterranean, so obviously like the kitchen is for me, like I'll say, the most important room in a house. And I took advantage of this lockdown to cook even more than I used to. So as you said, yes, I mean, for many years now, I became a vegan. Why? I mean, I think for me, it became very logical, but let me try to explain why. So when you perform at the top level and when you exercise on daily basis, I mean, you generate a lot of what we call lactic acid. Lactic acid comes from the effort. And in order to be able to perform, you know, like every day, but also like to have games every 3 days, I mean, what's as important as the game or as exercise is a recovery. And the recovery starts the minute you have finished to exercise. And recovering means getting rid of this lactic acid and getting rid of this acidity in your body. What people don't really understand sometimes is the fact that the more animal protein you eat, the more acidity you create. Okay, so for athletes, when you think that acidity causes injuries, acidity causes tiredness, so for us to alkaline our body and get rid of this acidity is extremely important. So, I mean, for me, in order to get rid of this acidity as quick as possible and to create as less as possible, I decided to stop eating animal protein and to lower also my risk of injury. That's why, I mean, for the past 7 years, you know, I'm not touching any animal protein. And when people are telling me, my God, but I mean, how come you don't have animal protein? How can you build muscle? I mean, it's the meat, you know, it's a meat. When I say it's a meat, meaning like, I mean, like for many, many years, we were bombarded from marketing saying that milk is good because, you know, it's like for your bone density. I mean, everyone, I think I've discovered that, I mean, dairy is not good because unfortunately dairy is full of hormones. I mean, dairy is like, it's not something the human body can associate well. And the same way, you know, with animal protein, we are not designed to eat so much animal protein. And when you think about it, people don't realize that you eat eggs in the morning is animal protein. You drink dairy is animal protein. You have chicken is animal protein. You have fish is animal protein. And adding all that creates so much acidity in your body, and that's very nefast.
I mean, and of course, you know, you're currently thinking about how you bring a lot of this insight around mindset, training, nutrition, and recovery in terms of, you know, I guess helping people find answers. I mean, it strikes me in the conversations that I've had with you before is that the why really matters, that actually helping people understand, as you've just explained there, about, you know, the sort of, you know, how your body performs and how it reacts and why that matters seems to be a really important part of your philosophy.
I fully agree with you, and I think like many of us, we believe in what's logical. And that's why, you know, I mean, like, for me, it's not enough to be told something, but I need to understand why. And the why, like you say, is extremely important. So let me just take a very easy example. You know, everyone is telling you, oh, you need to drink a lot of water. And yes, many of us, we know we need to drink a lot of water, but maybe many of us don't do it enough. And the reality is, I believe, is because we don't understand why do we have to drink enough water. And so let me please give you a bit of my insight. So as athletes, drinking a lot of water, like any of you, it's very important. The reality, why? Because, I mean, for us athletes, when we exercise every single day, obviously, like, we have to be in a prevention. And being in a prevention means, like, staying away from the injury. So for us, drinking a lot is like give an opportunity to reduce the injuries. And why? Because the muscles are made to, I think, close to 80% is water. So for you, not drinking water is having a higher risk of injuries, because I mean, your muscles are not like are too dry. So for us, drinking enough water is to have like our muscles not dry. Then if you think about it, your mind, I mean, our mind, our brain is also close to 80% is water. I mean, if you don't drink enough water, I mean, like, how can you be like fresh enough mentally, and how can you face some of the challenges from the everyday? I mean, and the last piece is your heart. Same for the heart. Your heart is mostly made of water. If you don't drink enough, I mean, obviously that's having an impact on your health.
I'm reaching for my glass now as we speak. I mean, but you're right. But I mean, I suppose the thing is that, you know, the why is often so important. I mean, for all of the things, the mindset, if you buy into the why we do it, the change becomes that much more possible. There's a great Nietzsche quote I love, which is he said that he who has a why to live can bear any how. That actually, if you've got the why sorted, that's the big one. Now, let's move on to another great quotation. Your old boss, Arsene Wenger, he said, if you do not believe you can do it, then you have no chance at all. Did you learn belief from the managers like him? Was that something that you got out of that career playing at the elite level?
I mean, definitely. I mean, Arsene has been close to a feather figure for many of us. I arrived to Arsenal and to England. I was like 19 years old, and I played for close to 8 years under his management. So obviously, like, he played a massive role in my career. Obviously, like, managers are having a huge impact on the players, especially, you know, like, when players are very young. And he definitely had a massive impact on me and how I see things and how I deal with things. Obviously, it's you know, he was a leader. He was somebody who is like for who, like, team spirit was very important. He was somebody for who leadership was like also very important. He was like very calm, and someone who's like taking decision, you know, like being able to take a bit of distancing in order to take some decision. I remember like games, you know, where we were losing and getting in the dressing room, and everyone, you know, like upset, everyone like willing to react, you know, like to react. And it was like, it was bringing so much calm and reflection, you know, in that dressing room. So that's something
under pressure, because you said that you learned from him never to take a decision in the heat of the moment. I mean,
correct.
That's a hard one, isn't it?
It's a very hard one, especially for somebody like me. You know, I'm like, I'm a passionate person, and I like to take decisions, you know, with my heart more than with my head. So, I mean, like, and I'm also Mediterranean, so like...
Exactly, the Gallic bloody blood.
Yes, and also if you have seen me playing, you know, I'm like, I'm all in or all out. So that's why, I mean, that's definitely something I've learned from him, being able to take a decision, like, and not also being influenced, because many times, you know, like, your passion or even like your emotion influence your decision. And that's something, you know, through the years I've been trying to work on it, and like being able to take a decision with a cold head, like, that's so important.
But I think, you know, moving your story on a bit, I mean, it might well be under any other interview, we'd be saying, Matthew Flamini, thank you very much. But I mean, you also had another side to your life that was sort of starting to take shape while you were playing professional football. I mean, the great secret, age 24, you set up GF Biochemicals, which you kept a secret from friends, teammates, even your family. A very enigmatic decision, if you don't mind me saying, in terms of what was making you think, right, I can play football at this level, and now I'm going to go and change the world.
And I wouldn't say I was trying to change the world. I mean, that would be like very pretentious. But I mean, what I could say is, like, I had obviously like a main passion and a main priority, which was football, and I was living it every single day, and that was my everyday, you know, like. But obviously, as athlete or as football players, you know, we have other interests, we have other passions, and you want to be able to also sometimes change your mind and be able to have some fresh air. So for me, I mean, growing up by the sea, I mean, like, nature and sustainability has always been close to my heart. And I always told myself, if one day I do something, I want to do something around sustainability. Mm. And already at the time when I grew up, I was already a witness of, like, all these issues related to plastic and the problem of around the sea. And I had the opportunity in 12 years ago, I mean, like, so 12 years ago, like, 2008 to co-found this chemical company, and when I moved to Italy, I decided to also get involved in that journey. Obviously, like, football was my priority. Obviously, like, I had a strong management which was, like, supporting me, like, on every day, because I mean, that's not something I could have done, you know, at the time, because I was obviously focused on football. But obviously, I was still involved, and through the years, you know, my knowledge around sustainability and my engagement around sustainability have grown, because since then, I mean, we co-founded the first master in bioeconomy in Europe in collaboration with four Italian universities, and I also try to use my platform to create awareness and also to drive change, because sadly, I mean, like, even if you're not really, like, engaged around trying to find solution around climate change, I think it's important for people to realize you cannot have a healthy body if you don't live in a healthy environment, because people don't realize, and sadly, I mean, these environmental issues and this climate change issue is having a massive impact on people forgetting that every year, you know, we have 4 million people dying of pollution, or even more than the sea is, like, full of microplastic, and I don't think we can find any fish anymore without microplastic inside. So when we're eating fish, when people eating fish, I mean, unfortunately, they're also eating microplastic. So one is related to the other.
Well, but yeah, I mean, so to my point, I mean, I said about, you know, changing the world, and you said you wouldn't want to have that sound pretentious, but because, you know, you've been recognized as a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. And I'd quote you, the online football magazine, 90 Minutes, which said about you, he makes his money saving the planet. To him, financial gain has always been secondary to making a difference. You really are a change maker in that respect. I mean, it's interesting to think about, you know, your kind of what a successful person like you would want to be remembered as: sports star, environmental campaigner, or performance coach. Where do you think you'll make the biggest legacy?
So let me, let's park that for a second, and let me just...
Or a politician, answer. By the sounds
no.
of it.
I'll answer the question.
I'll answer the question.
I definitely answer the question, but what I like to say is I'm a huge fan, for example, of a brand such as Patagonia. You know, I mean, it's a brand which has, like, a very strong, very strong ethos. And
don't buy this jacket.
I mean, like, exactly. You know, I believe you can drive change and be successful at the same time. I mean, like, let's not forget that Patagonia associated, you know, with North Face. At one point, they were the largest private owner of land, you know, like, on a global scale. And what they were doing is, like, buying land, and at the end of the day, they turn all this into a massive reserve. So, I mean, what I like to do is, like, first of all, I mean, I like to do things which I'm passionate about. I think that's the most, like, exciting things in life, to be able to do what you love first. And at the same time, if you can do something by having a positive impact and being successful at that, I think that's great. And that's what I've been trying to do, you know, like, with the fact that I've been involved into sustainability, and I've been trying to, you know, like, to be part of the solution. And I know many, many others, you know, are also, like, part of the solution, and many others are, like, joining the forces to drive change, and I think more and more athletes also will join the team, because I mean, what athletes having these days is a social responsibility. I mean, when you look at social media taking more and more space in our life, I mean, and having these athletes becoming like real heroes out there, and having such a massive audience to address to, I think, you know, athletes have a social responsibility, and they need to embrace that, and they need to drive change.
Well, Matthew, you completely failed to answer my question. What do you want to be remembered for? So I'm going to banish the politician and ask you to give me the truthful answer. Matthew, what do you want to be remembered for?
I wouldn't want to be remembered for any of this. I would like to be remembered for a man of principles, value, and strong desire to drive change and to be able to join the effort to basically like, you know, find a solution to this massive problem of climate change.
Yeah, I mean, right the way through this interview, you've been talking about impact and the difference that you can make, the change that you can be. I mean, you also said that there's been a reflective opportunity for you in terms of that coronavirus has been a great opportunity to reflect on what's important to me. What is important to you, Matthew, in terms of the reflections you've had during, you know, a very tough period in human history in terms of a global pandemic?
I mean, I think, for me, to be honest, I mean, two things I will say. I mean, this pandemic has been like, give me the opportunity to first like cut on a lot of superficial things which were in my life and focusing mainly on what's important. So that's why I was saying before, friend, family. And the other thing which is extremely important is also health. And people, I think many people have realized with this pandemic that having a healthy lifestyle and being able to take care of yourself is very important. And that's, I mean, like keeping you away from like being affected such as the coronavirus, for example. And what I like to tell people is like, don't wait to be sick to treat yourself. People has to be in a prevention more than in a cure. And that's something which I think many, many people have realized through this pandemic. That, I mean, being in a prevention, taking care of themselves, exercising, eating healthy, and having a healthy lifestyle can support people, you know, during a difficult time.
I mean, that's a great message there. I mean, firstly, the hard-hitting message on take care of yourself, but also, I guess, the softer side of that as well, which is that friends, family, and health really do make the difference when you want to make the difference. And I think, you know, that's a very good place, Matthew, to sort of end this interview. And thank you very much for joining me. And I think, you know, my thanks, therefore, to Matthew Flamini, a change maker, unlocking the secrets of the power of performance. And at the heart, as we heard it there, is that ability to cut the superficial, focus on what really counts to you, and maybe focus on those ideas of friends, family, and health. Join me next time for Changemakers.